Things You've Told Him All Along by Third Eye 1234. Read by Patica. Summary. Anonymous fire calls, blind dates, awkward run-ins, kissing in the D-A-R-K. But besides all that, a story about hiding, coming out, and starting over and over.
Without grinning innocence, lay down a list of what is wrong, the things you told him all along. Pray to God he hears you, and pray to God he hears you.
Chapter 1. St. Lupin Crisis Center. 6-week summer program. Hands-on experience, access to wide variety resources. Career guidance offered on-site, flexible working hours. Help troubled youth while receiving training applicable to a future career in mind healing, medicine, or teaching. Please see Madame Pomfrey for available start dates. It's the next thing to try, that's all. The next in a long line of half-arsed things Harry has tried in order to find his calling after 8th year. The next thing to do to fill his hours, occupy his thoughts, keep his demons at bay. He hopes it will be the thing that works, because nothing else has. First day on fire call duty? Neville claps him on the back with a confidence that Harry is still getting used to from his formerly shy friend. He's completed the training session just before Harry's and has been working here only 3 months. But for all Harry knows, it might be 3 years. Neville is well on his way to professional mind healer certification and walks and talks like a man who's got everything sorted. Harry would hate him for it if he weren't so fucking nice, so Neville all the time. Yep, Harry replies with forced optimism. You'll do brilliantly, says Neville, and I think you'll like it here. He leads Harry to a row of cubicles, each one containing a desk, a fireplace, and an armchair. Take your pick. That one on the end was mine when I did my practical. He points to the last cubicle in the row. I found the chair a little springy, but the window made up for it. Always did prefer natural light. He shivers slightly, which puts Harry at ease somehow. All right, that one it is. Harry shuffles in and drops a briefcase into the empty desk. Right then, so 3 hours? He stares at the smoldering embers. He's not ready. He wonders if he should offer Neville a cup of tea to keep him from leaving just yet. He's about to fire up the standard issue kettle on his desk and root through the drawer for an extra mug, but Neville is already halfway out the door. Best of luck, Harry, he says with a grin, before disappearing down the hall. Bugger. Harry sinks down onto the faded floral chair, which is quite springy, more so than Neville let on, he thinks in annoyance, and picks up the leaflet on the desk. Tips for fire call duty. Remain confident that both your identity and the identity of your callers is protected. Every crisis center fireplace has facial shadow and voice-altering spells in effect. These can only be removed by authorized personnel in the case of a dire emergency. Listen more than you speak. Most of the witches and wizards who use the crisis fire call line are only looking for someone to talk to. The less personal information you share, the better. No problem there, Harry muses. If you are faced with an emergency, i.e. a witch or wizard in immediate risk of harming themselves, others, or being harmed, cast sparks into the air above your cubicle, and trained personnel will arrive to assist and respond to the situation. Harry hopes he never encounters anything close to this. Thank you for volunteering. We trust this will be a valuable experience for you and your callers. Harry reads the list over twice, glancing up at the fireplace every so often. Perhaps no one will call today. It is a Monday morning, after all. But then he would be stuck with 3 hours doing nothing and that wouldn't do either. It occurs to him that he doesn't really know what he is supposed to hope for. If no one calls, no one is having a crisis, right? But he needs to get experience somehow. An ember crackles and sizzles, and Harry's heart starts racing. This is it. The flames leap to life before him, and within them he sees a shadow silhouette of a head with hair that falls just below the ears and slender neck. A metallic voice calls out a tentative,
"Hello?"
Harry fumbles with the leaflet. He's forgotten how he's supposed to answer. There's a phrase he's supposed to say.
"Hello?"
the voice calls again, sounding perturbed more than anything else. Shit, he'll have to wing it for now. "Hello," he says too cheerily. "Welcome to the... that is... thank you for calling. I'm..." Fuck it all to hell. He takes a deep breath and says steadily, "I'm very sorry. This is my first day."
"Oh, good grief,"
the voice says. And though the face is completely in shadow, Harry can picture the person rolling their eyes at him. He can hardly blame them. "Yes, but, no need to worry, I'm properly trained."
"Thank fuck for that,"
the voice mutters. Well, whoever it is seems rather too snippy to be in any kind of real crisis. But no matter, he's a professional. Or at least, he will be. Sort of. Finally, he remembers the phrase. "Fire call crisis line!" Too cheery again. "I'm listening." Silence. The shadow in the fireplace disintegrates and the flames shrink back into the embers. Shit. The second call doesn't come until half an hour later, and goes much better than the first. How could it not, really? Nowhere to go but up. It's a girl, he suspects, as the silhouette has longish hair and delicate features, but the metallic voice spell makes it difficult to tell. She's just broken up with her boyfriend, for the third time, it would seem. He's not sure it would qualify as a crisis, and he's not keen on giving relationship advice, but the fact that this person has seen fit to call a complete stranger to talk about it makes his heart ache a little. Anyway, they aren't supposed to give advice, not really. Listen more than you speak and all that. He nods sympathetically. That sounds disappointing.
"Yes, that's just it," says the voice as the head bobs up and down vigorously. "He didn't care enough to attend my aunt's funeral. Then he has the gall to complain about me missing his precious Quidditch game?"
The boyfriend does sound like a right bastard, in his barely professional opinion. "He's not worth your time, then," Harry says without thinking. I'm sure that hurts. Why do you keep going back together with him?" They can ask questions that help their callers reflect upon a situation more clearly.
I think it's because I'm afraid I won't find anyone else."
The voice is a little hoarse.
"I'm nothing special, is all."
Harry doesn't know whether to laugh or cry at that. "Trust me, being special is highly overrated," Harry says wryly, and chastises himself. The less personal information, the better. "Listen, you're... you. You have something to offer that no one else does. You just need people in your life who recognize that. It will come. Things will get better." It doesn't sound all that helpful to him, but the voice perks up.
"Thank you. You really think so?"
"I do," says Harry. "I don't know you, but everyone deserves to be treated with dignity. You'll find someone. Don't give up."
"Okay,"
the voice says brightly.
"I do feel a little better."
"Good. Do you want to keep talking?"
"No, that's okay."
And again, the fire dies down while the shadow falls away. Yes, definitely much better. Harry takes the small victory and puts the kettle on. Once it's ready, he sips his tea and stares at the window Neville spoke so highly of. The hospital takes most of the view, But some sunlight makes its way to the potted dragonfly succulent on his windowsill. He wonders if that is courtesy of Neville, too. He absentmindedly drums his fingers on the desk. Something is nagging at him. That first caller was somehow familiar. But that doesn't make sense. It's not supposed to be that way. But there it is. Something about the exchange, the nature of it, the way it rankled him, set his jaw on edge. But he can't put his finger on it, and it's driving him mad. He's wondering if the snarky person will call back. He doesn't have to wonder for long. The embers crack again, and voice-altering spell or no, the
hello
is unmistakable. This time, he's ready. Fire call crisis line, he says with authority. He decides to leave off the I'm listening bit as he thinks it's obvious and unnecessary.
Yes, right. I'm here for a check-in, the voice says curtly.
It doesn't seem to recognize him from their prior encounter. Thank Merlin. Harry doesn't know what that voice is referring to, but damn if he's going to be fooled twice for the same person. Of course, he says with a wave of his hand. Continue.
Aren't you going to ask the questions?
He can see the silhouette tip slightly forward and hears the arrogance in the clipped consonant. Mr. Snark isn't buying his established counselor act for a moment. He wonders if there even are any questions or if the caller is having him on. Bugger Neville. He should have warned him about this. Well, he isn't giving in or letting on. He will get through this call successfully on his own. He's Harry fucking Potter, after all.
Why don't I save you the trouble? Says the voice, sounding bored. I haven't overdosed on noxious substances. I haven't made any attempts on my own life. I am at no risk of harming myself or others.
Harry stares open-mouthed at the silhouette before replying, Good. Glad to hear it. He's going to hunt Neville down as soon as his shift is over. Anything else you want to share?
You're the same idiot who answered the call before, aren't you?
And you're the same snarky bastard who ducked out on me, he wants to respond. But he doesn't. Whoever this person is, their situation sounds complicated, and it's his job to help them. I don't see why that matters, he says evenly.
I want to speak to the person I've been speaking to regularly. They know my history.
If you tell me your history, Harry says through gritted teeth, then I will know it. And we can get on with this. Your former counselor is not available. There. That sounded perfectly civil. The silhouette is silent for a moment, but it does not disappear like last time.
Very well.
Harry waits. He wonders if now is a good time to add the I'm listening part, but can't find it in him to say something so sappy to the prickly shadow person in front of him.
Sob story is as follows. I hope you're listening because I shan't repeat it.
Oh, you shan't you? Harry thinks. What are you, 150 years old?
Aurors found me half drowned in the Thames, Muggle London.
Harry coughs and sputters. Pardon? Did you fall in?
Bold of you to assume it was an accident, continues the voice, seeing as this is a crisis line. Avada Kedavra is so overused, don't you find? Dreadfully predictable. I settled on something more creative. Having never learned to swim, it seemed a decent option.
Fuck, Harry whispers.
Quite, agrees the voice. One of the officers took pity on me, got me into...
He waves his hand vaguely.
This. I think the other would have preferred to let me rot, if you want to know the truth. Not that I blame him.
Who in the hell?
And that's all, I suppose.
That's all? Lovely story, Harry mutters.
So glad you think so. I was so hoping you would approve.
There's that snark again. Well, I don't make a habit of pissing on other people's troubles. Not in the job description, you know. Harry pours himself another cup of tea and looks out the window. He is failing at this. Badly. And yet, he thinks he may have caught a snort of laughter from the other side of those flames. And that's something, isn't it? Laughter is better than trying to drown oneself in the Thames. But it's not going to earn him any career options. Be nice. Be helpful. Listen. Sorry, that was rude, he says, more to the window than the person in the fireplace.
It's fine. Rude is my second language. Helps with all the self-loathing.
All the same, I should be doing something a little more helpful. So please, if there's anything else you'd like to discuss. The flames die down a little, but not completely.
Not at this time,
comes the reply.
But I will call again tomorrow, as usual.
As usual, Harry repeats. Tomorrow. And for some, probably unhinged reason, he grins at the thought.